Are you ready? Here we go.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, ESPN 97.5, a Gao Media Station.
Manchester City is still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey's denied again! And Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
From the Gao Studios in Houston, this is Soccer Matters. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Sadly, we're going to have to start this show on a sad note. Lead singer for Motorhead, Lemmy, apparently has passed away at 70 years of age. So we'll play some break music tonight here from Motorhead in honor of Lemmy, their lead singer. So. We started off on a bit of a sad note here tonight, but we also have a lot to talk about here. The Best in Soccer Talk, we are on the air, wishing you a happy holiday season. I hope everybody's Christmas was good. Mine was very laid back here in Houston, consisted of a lot of bike rides. Rare for me to be in town sometimes on the weekends, and which is nice being here and being still, if there's such a thing. So tonight you have the distinction of being a part of our final Soccer Matter show of 2015 here on ESPN 97.5. As always, you can call throughout the show, 713-780-3776. Want your thoughts on the Boxing Day matches, today's Manchester United-Chelsea, and all the games that took place here today. It's always a tricky part of the year in the Premier League because these games are weaved in and out of holidays. Training schedules are off for these teams. So you see teams that are not particularly sharp at times over the course of these very condensed games, starting with Boxing Day. So, again, 713-780-3776 is a number to call in here tonight. We stream at ESPN975.com. That craziness called Boxing Day, that is one of the topics on the table here tonight. Now, I got a couple of great guests later on in studio tonight. Arturo Alvarez, who's been in here before, he is in town. We'll talk to him about his career. We'll talk to him about what's going on with the El Salvador national team. Plus, he watched the Manchester United-Chelsea game. We'll get his thoughts on that. Also, ESPN FC writer Naib Moran will be in studio as well. And then we'll hear from Tom Clare, the noted author, and we'll get some thoughts about Manchester United and Chelsea. Those two teams today, 0-0. But you talk about two historic clubs in a struggle. And if truth be told, United were the better team today. But let's be real clear. No matter what managers will say after the game, small victories today within the game, these are two dysfunctional teams still. I would say Chelsea far more than Manchester United. This was a game that Chelsea was second to Manchester United. Chelsea did have a few chances. Manchester United hit the woodwork twice through Juan Mata and Anthony Martial. Martial was just ripping apart Branislav Ivanovic. They got to be kicking themselves for not producing a goal. Chelsea struggled down their right side of the field. They've got aging defenders. They were fortunate to get out of this without a loss, and their manager Gus Hiddink is going to call it a win for them, which it is. Did it look to you like Manchester United were a bit less rigid here today? A little bit better in the final third, maybe with a little higher tempo and pace to the game, a little more improvisational? Did you see that in the final third today? 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776. Wayne Rooney had a bit more oomph in his game today. He had one of his patented long-range hits that was denied by a flying art of goalkeeping type save by Thibaut Courtois of Chelsea. Still, they struggle in front of goal, which, oh, I got to say it. It just makes you quickly think of Chicharito banging in goals for fun in the German Bundesliga. And don't start telling me that the Bundesliga, it's easier to score goals there. This guy could have scored goals. He would have scored goals today. I don't think there's any question. Cameron Borthwick-Jackson putting in a beautiful cross right on the foot of Wayne Rooney, who mishit the volley. So United now are winless in 8 games in all competitions. They'll take some positives out of this today. And to be fair, they were clearly the better team. Now, Chelsea, 2 draws in a row, but that vaunted counterattack that we saw last year at times, led by Eden Hazard, where did that go? They've lost 9 games. They fired their manager, Jose Mourinho, and they're 3 points above the relegation zone. No Diego Costa today. But what has happened to Hazard, Willian, Oscar Ramirez? Man, they just don't have it. And again, don't tell me this team is defending well today. They were cut apart a bunch of times, even though they were set up to defend deep for the majority of this game. Both teams had moments of horrific defending. You can't forget the moment where Matic got in one-on-one. But United carried the lion's share of possession in this. So let's get your thoughts. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 on Manchester United. Chelsea, it can be anything. Premier League here today, it can be Dynamo. Arsenal fans are feeling better today after the thumping they took from Southampton. We'll talk about that. Stoke in a 7-goal thriller. Knock off Everton at Goodison Park. A former Dynamo plays a part in that one. Spurs 2-1 over Watford. Not an easy place to go win a game at Vicarage Road. All right, let's go to the phone lines. And Nick, you started off tonight. What's on your mind, Nick? Hi, Nick. You're on the air.
Hi, Glenn. How you doing, man?
I'm very good.
I can't put my finger on it, but I just don't understand how a team can win the Premier League, arguably the best soccer league in the world, and they can literally go from worst to, am I on the brink of relegation? Am I wrong on that? With a guy like Diego Costa, Eden Hazard, how in the world is that possible? Have we seen something like this before?
No, I don't think this is the worst start to a Premier League season for a team that is defending the title. Now, I'm going to question Chelsea's preparation for the season. I saw them play the New York Red Bulls and get run around by a bunch of 16, 17, and 18-year-olds. It did not look like a professional performance for me. It was on national television. It was in a stadium with 15 to 20,000 people. This was a Chelsea brand on display, and it was pretty embarrassing, quite frankly. So I go back to that. That cues me in on preparation, maybe a sense of entitlement coming into the season, players that didn't look fit to me, a manager that obviously has to be front and center stage all the time. And I think they spiraled downward and were not able to get out of the downward spiral, which to me was very disappointing when it comes to judging Jose Mourinho. Because after 1, 2, 3 losses, you're saying, okay, well, Jose, you are the special one. There's no better person to take this Chelsea team out of the downward spiral. And in the end, he couldn't do it. And in the end, he almost looked like a sort of a madman who got out of an insane asylum, blaming everybody and anybody, whether it was a female team doctor, whether it was the so-called vendetta against Chelsea by the league and referees, you name it, he blamed them. And then in the end, he blamed his players, and it became an embarrassment. They had no choice but to get rid of him. So, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. I understand that. Do you think their manager was, especially after winning the Premier League last year, I think that was the first time Chelsea did that in a very long time. I mean, was his firing even deserved?
Oh, it was absolutely deserved. You watched it. It was an embarrassment. It was an embarrassment. Listen, this doesn't take away the fact that players are accountable, okay? If guys didn't come in fit, that's on them as well, okay? But, I mean, that's where a manager and leadership comes in. So I don't think they made enough moves. I think they've depended on some aging defenders. I think they're afraid to move John Terry because John Terry is John Terry. And Chelsea fans are going to continue to say Mourinho should have stayed. You know what? Try to get him hired back. Because he's not going to Manchester United. I guarantee you, he's not going to Manchester United. Would be blown away if he goes to Manchester United. He's not the right tactical fit there. Ego over team and club name and history doesn't work at Manchester United. I think Mourinho's strength is obviously producing counterattacking football. I don't know if he's comfortable playing a style or a purpose of play that is a pressing style. It's a more aggressive style. And he's a control freak. He's a narcissist. So that just doesn't fit at Manchester United for me. I don't see it happening. There are too many former big name players and managers that are gatekeepers of Manchester United. I don't see him getting in there. I don't see him getting in there at Barcelona either. The one thing that makes most sense to me is him going back to Real Madrid, Mourinho. But anyway, the amount of rumors and stuff, it does get a little bit tiring, doesn't it, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, I saw a rumor today that, you know, Neymar is in talks to Manchester City. That'd be something to see him, to actually see him in the Premier League. I mean, in my opinion, it's arguable if the Premier League is still the best league. But to see him in the Premier League, in my opinion, would be pretty freaking exciting.
Well, I think it's always exciting when players switch leagues to see if they can produce and perform. It was no different when Chicharito went to the Bundesliga for me. I still want to see one of the best Mexican players produce in that league. It's a league that has different challenges. I think the Premier League is outstanding this year, and I'll tell you why. I absolutely love the unpredictability of it. I love Watford getting results. I love what Leicester has done. You know, Bournemouth has had some exciting moments, a team that has an 11,000-seat stadium. There's no predicting it. Arsenal gets smoked 4-0 and then turns around and wins 2-0 today, so they're doing their normal Jekyll and Hyde. What did you say, Nick?
I said, isn't Newcastle United up there? I know earlier in the season, I believe they were up into like number 5 or something like that.
No, they're not up there. They're struggling.
Okay. Sorry.
They're struggling.
Yeah, well, appreciate it, Glenn.
All right, Nick, thank you very much for the phone call. So Nick Wayne in here tonight. So Louis van Gaal still on the hot seat. The press is pretty much merciless against him right now. But man, the speculation, the invented news, I mean, how do you know what to believe anymore? I think Manchester United should come out, make a statement that van Gaal is staying for the rest of the year, take the pressure off the manager and the players. Because look, when players are speculating that a new manager's coming in, they're wondering, oh, okay, if so-and-so's coming in, how do I fit with him? And do I have history with him? And will he like me? And am I the type of player that he considers for his first 11? I mean, all these mental things go on. Manchester United should just come out and say, Louis van Gaal's our manager to the end of the year. What do you think about that? 713-780-3776. But Mourinho, seriously? Come on, be serious. Not for a second do I think that will happen. Not that I know everything. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. Arsenal fans are feeling better today. After a 4-0 loss on Boxing Day to Southampton, the Gunners today dispatch Bournemouth 2-0. They get goals from the Brazilian Gabriel. Scores off an Ozil corner. Ozil, with a classic give-and-go, produces one for Arsenal. So that midfield maestro remains in amazing form. Now has added being a goal threat to his game, which I think is so essential for somebody out of central midfield. So Gabriel in the 27th, Ozil in the 63rd, 3 saves for Peter Cech, who now becomes the all-time shutout leader in Premier League history, besting David James. Stoke 4-3 over Everton. Jeff Cameron, the former Dynamo, playing in that one. 7 goals produced. Crazy day at Goodison Park. Americans on display. Tim Howard in goal for the Toffees. Jeff Cameron, we mentioned, lining up for Stoke in a midfield role. Some people have said Mark Hughes could be the guy to go back to Manchester United. Some might question his job at QPR, but right now he has definitely bought a more appealing playing style of football. I don't think any question to Stoke. Shaqiri in the 16th minute, 1-0 Stoke. Lukaku would tie it in the 22nd. Shaqiri again on the stroke of halftime, making it 2-1. Lukaku ties it up in the 64th. And 7 minutes later, Everton go up 3-2, so it was a seesaw. And then in the 80th minute, Stoke tie it through Hosolu, the Spaniard. Arnautović with the game-winning penalty kick for Stoke, somewhat controversial. Stones called for the penalty. Tim Howard had 1 save. Never good night when you're a goalkeeper beaten 4 times, whether you can do anything about it or not. Jeff Cameron went the full 90 minutes. Spurs 2-1 over Watford. We can talk a little bit about that. Amigo Energy, Danish Inspirations, Contemporary Furniture, the Daspit Law Firm, Bud Light, 7-Up are great sponsors on this program. We got a game on for 90 coming up. We got Tom Clare in this first hour. We got a lot to talk about here. General Manager Matt Jordan also. Quick word here for Amigo Energy, who wish all of you very happy holidays. And they remind you that LED Christmas lights use 80 to 90% less electricity. And they last 33 times longer than incandescent bulbs. Additionally, Amigo Energy, nights free customers pay no energy charge to light up their holiday decorations overnight. And there are a lot of those decorations around Houston. If you want to save money, take advantage. Sign up for Amigo Energy nights free. www.amigoenergy.com/soccermatters. Enroll today or call 888-995-9299. 888-995-9299. Sign up for holiday and year-round electricity savings today with Amigo Energy. Break time. 7-Up break.
Chelsea attacking with Stretford air. In goes the cross. Terry is there. It's an excellent save. David De Gea palms it over the bar. What a start we're enjoying here at Old Trafford. Terry very close to his first goal of the season.
Motorhead's Lemmy today passing away at 70 years of age. Cover of Sympathy for the Devil by the Rolling Stones by Motorhead. Daspit Law Firm, working for you 24-7. The Houston personal injury attorney handles personal injury cases. And our thanks to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, great supporters of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Medical injuries, industrial accidents, 18-wheeler accidents, down to boat and cart accidents, and dare I say it, wrongful death cases. DaspitLaw.com, 713-364-0915. DaspitLaw.com. My thanks to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. By the way, remember, when you have a situation that requires a lawyer, you want to have somebody who is a hard-hitting personal injury attorney on your side. They're going to fight for your right for compensation. They're going to guide you through what can be some very emotional and scary times. Contact the Daspit Law Firm, 713-364-0915, or toll-free, 888-273-1045, both in English and Spanish. Soccer Matters, Glenn Davis, thanks. John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. All right, let's get right into it now. I had an opportunity to catch up literally a few minutes before the show here tonight. Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan. Well, Matt, how have the holidays been for you so far?
Well, look, I'm happy I was able to actually shut my phone off for two or three days. But once the Monday after Christmas hits, it's back to business as usual.
Now, without mentioning any names or anything, I know you don't want to reveal things. You got deals in place, deals you're working on. But is there still a lot of change to come for the Houston Dynamo?
Look, we're looking at every avenue possible to continue to improve the team. You know, right now, you know, there's a lot of balls up in the air and you know, a lot of discussions, a lot of rumors, a lot of different things that every MLS club is going through right now, and we're no different. But we are in a lot of discussions about a lot of different scenarios. But as you know very well from being in the game so long, it's always, you know, the challenge is getting certain things over the line.
Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan joining us here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. All right, you guys signed homegrown defender Bradley Bourgeois. He's a guy that I've seen play for Tulsa and have called a couple of games that he's played in. Talk a little bit about this young defender.
Yeah, you know, Bradley's a guy that, you know, that I actually even, you know, was on our radar when I was up in Montreal, just obviously getting prepared for the draft every year. And then when I came to Houston, you know, it was a guy that, you know, of course has been in our system for a while. I think what, you know, when you look at Bradley, it's a player that's just steadily improved. And it's a real, very committed person, very hardworking. Very good locker room guy, and so, you know, we're very happy that, you know, he was able to benefit from being in our academy system, and as you've seen throughout the league over the course of the last, you know, probably 10 days, You know, when with players like Brandon Allen and some of the other players that are out there, homegrown players, is that it's a good opportunity to add these guys to your roster before the draft comes and keep them out of the combine in the draft and get them in, keep them in your system. You know, so we're happy to get Bradley. We're happy to get Bradley with us, especially before the holidays.
Now, is he a player that you see getting a lot of games at Rio Grande Valley? Do you see him as somebody who's, you know, learning off more established center backs here? How do you project him out at this moment?
You know, I think every year, and Glenn, you know this as well, is that, you know, the young guys come in and some guys, you know, some guys progress at different paces, at different paces. And you look at Rob Lovejoy, who we took in the second round last year. You know, he really contributed in a very positive manner last year, where, you know, we were so loaded in the midfield that it was important to send Steinberger to Indy for, you know, I think he played 15 really valuable games. And so I think each player, each situation, you know, they come along in at different times. You look at Memo, went to Charleston last year, obviously with Charlie and Luca, they're our first two, prominent kind of, guys that are leading the charge for us down at RGV. And so, you know, it's really, you just got to take it a case by case scenario.
How about yourself now? Tell us some of the irons you have in the fire. I know you can't mention names, but, you know, what parts of the world? I know you guys were looking over in Europe. I know Owen's over there watching games. Give us a little insight into what's going on with Matt Jordan, where you guys are looking to discover players.
Yeah, well, look, I think, you know, South America continues to be, you know, a good market for us. Certain markets in Europe, you know, continue to be interesting for us. You know, some leagues are more stable than others, you know, in Europe in particular. So that, you know, that you have to kind of go by a case-by-case basis. But those are the two, you know, I'd say Europe and South America are the two markets that we're looking at. But also at the same time, you know, looking, you know, very closely within the league. And we've already made a few moves that we feel have improved the team and that we're excited about. And so, you know, we're excited about this upcoming year, and I think our fans should be very excited as well.
General Manager Matt Jordan joining us here. Last show here in 2015 before we head into 2016 here on ESPN. All right, Gabriel Brenner now has controlling interest of the team. With that comes two new minority owners or investors. Ben Gwill here locally, who's a minority owner of the Astros. And then, of course, Jake Silverstein, who we had on the show last week. How does that change anything within the structure of the organization and maybe even specifically to your job as a general manager?
Well, listen, when you look at Gabriel, Jake, and Ben, I mean, first and foremost, they're three very committed individuals. And you know, we're so pleased as an organization and on behalf of the technical side of the club about, you know, this change. I think what we're excited about is Gabriel is a person. I mean, he has very deep ties and very deep roots to Houston. He has a lot of family in Houston. He's in Houston all the time. He spent a lot of his childhood in Houston. Ben as well. And so I think that's what I think our fans and the organization's very excited about, is having that local presence. And the other thing is that's good is there's a level of familiarity with Gabriel's long-standing history of being one of the owners of the club. And so I think there's a level of familiarity, but also a level of excitement at the same time.
The local side of that you mentioned, do you expect to get vision and ideas from these owners? I mean, how does that work?
Well, it's been great. You know, over the course of the last 6 to 8 weeks, we've been able to sit in front of our ownership group and in front of Gabriel and just to get into the nitty gritty of the club and all the details and everything. And you know, anytime you get an opportunity to sit in front of a passionate group of investors, you know, that's exciting. You know, and I think that they're really excited about what the future holds for the club, and I know our fans can be very excited as well.
What most do you think they want to see? Is it the on-field product? Is it the relevancy of the club? I mean, is it a broad band of a bunch of things that they would like to see occur in the future?
I think you're always looking for holistic growth, and that's, you know, and first and foremost, you know, we want to have a winning and We want to have a winning and successful product on the field. And every decision we take, Glenn, and our fans can be rest assured, we're taking every steps possible to putting winning product on the field. And that's priority number one. But at the same time, we have so many different initiatives going on. I mean, our academy is growing, and our academy staff is doing a great job. You see our RGV initiative with Wilmer and our new signings there. The Dash is getting, is growing and becoming more and more established. And you look at even, I think it was about 3 months ago, I mean, we were in the valuation of our club. And it just shows that the future is very bright for the club. And I think that our owners, they look at it holistically, that you want to continue to grow steadily in all areas.
Christian Maidana, the playmaker from the Philadelphia Union, Andrew Wenger from the Philadelphia Union, in town recently, kind of got introduced to the media. How excited are you about these two players? And when we look at the end of next year, how influential do you think both of these guys will be?
Well, listen, with Maidana, or I should say Chaco, Chaco, it brings a different dimension to our team. I mean, we have a lot of really, really very good attacking pieces. And what I love about our attacking group is how diverse it is. You have Will, who's such a committed player, and he's so hardworking. You got Eric Cubo Torres, who's a poacher and is just so good at his runs and getting on the end of stuff in the box. You have Morrow, you really saw it towards the end of last season what he's capable of doing, particularly the goals he scored against Santos Laguna, and even at the end of the year, I'm not sure if you were there, Glenn, but we had a season-ending inter-squad scrimmage, and he was probably the best player on the field that day. And then you got Giles, who can play wide or up top. But at the end of the day, you need to have a creative attacking midfielder to get them the ball. And if you look last year, Maidana was one of the players that he led. He was one of the leaders in the league at big chances created, and that's something even at looking at, data and analytics and statistics, which is definitely the direction we're taking the club, that we're using this cutting edge technology and our performance analysts in conjunction with our staff to make these educated decisions. So I think you'll see that, and that's what we're excited about with Chaco. And Andrew, I think Andrew, is a player that's very hungry. You sat down with him, and you got firsthand how hungry and how eager he is to be here with the Dynamo. And I truly believe, and I've worked with Andrew before, he's a very talented individual. He's a very solid young man. But he's also very hungry, and he's got a little bit of a chip on his shoulder right now, and that's what we like about him. And I think for us, we see him in one position, bringing us that speed, pace, and power from a wide area, and I think that's going to be good for him as well to not be moving around all the time.
Yeah, he was excited about that. Both guys were very excited down at BBVA Compass Stadium. Last question before I let you go, because I want to go back to the analytics, because everybody talks about him these days. I mean, do you, Matt Jordan, now? This is kind of a loaded question, but do you really need analytics to decide that Christian Maidana is a good playmaker?
No. Listen, you can never make all your decisions based on one factor. You can't just by watching one game say, hey, this guy is going to be is going to be an important player. What I think you do is you look at the body of work. You look at what a player brings to the table, and then what I think data, statistics, and analytics helps you with just confirming decisions. You can never make decisions solely based on statistics, because at the end of the day, Glenn, you got to feel a person, you got to feel a player, you got to feel their level of motivation, But I do believe that's the way this league is trending, and you're seeing it more and more. And that's just world soccer as well. I mean, that's world soccer as well. Look, I'd love to be like Man City Football Club, where you have five performance analysts and you have everything. But again, we're just getting there one step at a time. But this is the direction we're taking the club, and now even. Getting, having put our sports science department in place after one full season with Paul Caffrey. I mean, he's He's excellent. He's excellent. I can't. What's been great for me is to see all the guys that they've been coming in on their own will to train with him in the off season. There's nobody saying there's no, you know, they have no obligation to come in. These guys have been coming in on their own, and that's been great to see. That's been great to see. And at the same time, too, I think you're seeing, you know, how, you know, guys, a lot of players that are at a very good age and a very good stage of their career are ready to commit to being with the Houston Dynamo. And then you add in, you know, getting an important boost of adding Rico and bringing Rico back, which that was important for us as well. I mean, Rico's one of those guys, and, you know, he's just, you know, he's such a consummate professional. I mean, he's a model teammate, and he's such a good, honest player in person. I mean, and every time I look at Rico, I just think of one word, and that's intangibles. And so, you know, that's when I look at all the things that are going on with the club right now, I'm excited, but, you know, we know we got a lot of hard work ahead of us as well.
Back to the guys coming in, and this used to kind of make me really wonder sometimes. Over the years, I never really saw a lot of guys staying after training, working on an element of their game. I saw some, don't get me wrong, there's some very hard workers that stayed after and did more. But I always wondered why there weren't more people taking an element of their game and working on it, whatever it is. So, I mean, you're not surprised that guys are coming in, right? Because that's something you would expect to see from them.
I'm not surprised, but what's been great to see is that it's all been a postseason voluntary work. You know, I'm not talking work right after training. I'm talking, you know, around the day before Thanksgiving holidays and you know, when a lot of people are, you know, maybe going away on vacation. It's been impressive to see the amount of guys that have been coming in, you know, on a voluntary basis, on their own will, just to work and just to get ready for next season. And that right there is why we've added the sports science department. That's why we're doing so much work behind the scenes. And that's been great to see.
Well, Matt, listen, as always, thank you. Happy holidays to you and your family. I hope you have a good New Year's Eve and New Year's night, and then we'll look forward to talking to you in 2016. Going to be an exciting season.
No problem, Glenn. Always a pleasure to be on the show, and Happy New Year to you and all the listeners.
All right, so that was Matt Jordan. A lot to be gleaned out of that interview. Let's get your reaction, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here tonight. Peter Cech, well, he's smelling like roses after moving from Chelsea to Arsenal, who now sit atop of the Premier League. Today he sets a record for shutouts, his 170th clean sheet. Peter Cech, today we honor him. We'll take a break. We got a lot more to go here. It's a Bud Light break. It's a 7-Up break. More to go here on the Best in Soccer Talk. It's Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Coming up next, his game on for 90. Then we will talk to one of the most knowledgeable men about Manchester United. He is an author. He is Tom Clare. He is up next as well in the next segment. Take a break. Segue in. He is noted author, the author of Forever a Babe. He grew up in the shadows of Old Trafford, Manchester United Stadium. He is an authority on all things Manchester United. I mean, if you want to know history, this man knows it. He's Tom Clare. Tom, thank you very much for coming on the program. First, I want to say Merry Christmas to you. Happy holidays. And I hope you've had some good rest time here.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Glenn.
Always a pleasure to be with you, Tom. All right, so let's get your initial impressions today on Manchester United-Chelsea, the 0-0 draw.
Well, for me, it was a very, very good performance because I was looking for the reaction to last Saturday's result. You know, they let themselves down, I thought, last Saturday. There was a few players there that, you know, performance-wise, they just weren't with it. And today, I was looking for what sort of reaction, and we got it. And it was no surprise to me, especially when you had players like Schweinsteiger and Darmian back, and Schneiderlin in there. It made a big difference because whatever people say, United over the last month have been ravaged by injury. And we know all clubs have, you know, you've got to put up with it. It's part and parcel of the game. But when you've got an injury list like United had, it will make a difference. We've had a run of bad results, which has resulted in a lot of pressure from the press. A lot of it, in my own honest opinion, uncalled for.
But today, the signs were there again. They played with purpose. They played with pace. They played with verve, and they played with passion. And the only thing that was missing was the goals. And that's where one of the problems has been. For me, we're still short of a really experienced striker. There was chances made today, and maybe we should have had two penalties, but you know, that's the nature of the game. Some you get, some you don't. But it was, on the whole, a much, much better performance, and for me, it takes a lot of pressure off the manager.
United hit the woodwork twice, Martial and Juan Mata.
Glenn, I can't hear you.
Tom, I said Martial and I'm forgetting his name right now. Juan Mata hit the crossbar and hit the post here,
Glenn,
today.
I can't hear you.
Okay. He can't. Tom can't hear us. Tom, can you hear me now?
No.
Okay. You said no, so you didn't hear anything.
It's very, very broken up, Glenn.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, something's happening. But can you hear me now, Tom?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. So I'm not going to move from the position that I'm in right now.
Okay.
So we talked about pressure on Louis van Gaal, and why doesn't Manchester United just come out and say he's the manager for the year and take some of the pressure off him and the players?
Well, for me, they should have done that. But again, you're dealing with a chief executive there in Edward Woodward who's not really a football man. I mean, for me, one of the problems at the club was, you know, the replacement of David Gill. I'm sure if David Gill had been there, there would have been a statement made. But Edward Woodward, he's not a football guy, and you know, it tends to, you know, get out of hand with him in some ways. He's very, very good on the commercial side, but the actual running of the football club as a non-football man, you know, he lacks a little thing. The club really should have made a statement, and they didn't. And of course, you know, that's where the pressure grew.
Yeah, and they're allowing it to fester. Now, going back to Edward Woodward, when we hear these Mourinho rumors, which I think it's nonsense. I don't think it's going to happen. But then you tell me this guy's not a real football man. That's the kind of guy that could be persuaded into, you know, bringing in a guy like Mourinho, who goes against everything Manchester United stands for, in my opinion.
Yeah, Mourinho, for me, would never be at Manchester United. You know, when Sir Alex decided to retire, you know, the rumour was there. But for me, he was never given the opportunity to manage in Manchester United, and never will. And I also don't think that Pep Guardiola will ever be at Manchester United either. Mourinho is certainly everything that Manchester United is not. And I simply just cannot see, even if Louis van Gaal was to go, I cannot see Jose Mourinho being appointed there.
Yeah, I'm with you. It kind of goes against everything, his style of football, his, you know, individual over the bigger picture of the team. You know, he's pretty self-indulgent. Martial was, I thought, outstanding today when it came to Manchester United. I thought he was getting the best of Branislav Ivanovic. But compare him to Memphis, who I don't think was brought along the right way in this club. I thought he was brought into Manchester United, and I think there should have been a bit of a period where he was eased into the situation coming from the Dutch Eredivisie.
Yeah, Memphis, for me, unfortunately, has been a big disappointment. He's flattered to deceive, but again, he's a very young player, Glenn. He's 20 years old. It's a big culture shock coming out of the Dutch league into the Premier League. It's a big culture shock for coming, you know, out of many of the European leagues. And one of the big things, and I mean, even experienced players like Mata and Herrera found it, the physicality of the Premier League is a lot different than it is in the European leagues. And as I said, it's a big, big culture shock.
So back to my question, why don't you think he was eased along a little bit more?
I'm sorry?
Why don't you think he was eased into it a little bit more?
Well, it's difficult to say. It might be. I have heard stories of attitude problems. He was careering around Manchester again last week in a £250,000 Rolls Bentley. Mm-hmm. They're young men with a lot of money in the pockets, and you know, they they've got to get the focus right. I mean, for me, if he doesn't improve, well, he won't be in the team.
Yeah, it's one to think about because, you know, he's all over Twitter and the clothes and the car,
yeah.
And you just wonder, you know, what is Manchester United, who we all know, what are they doing to take care of their asset and keep this kid grounded?
Well,
and I'm not sure playing him right away is the right way to go about it.
Well, no, for me, but I think they've been forced to play him over the last few weeks. I mean, they were so stretched at one time, Glenn. I mean, if you take the game against Bournemouth, there was 18 players on the team sheet that day. 9 of them were 20 or under, and that showed you how stretched, you know, the resources were. I think we're a little bit light in resources. We've probably got 19 players. You know, they've probably been forced to play him in games when he didn't want him, because he's not impressed since he's been here, and he's not this wonder boy that everybody talked about when he was in Holland. Now you look at Martial. Martial, he had an excellent game today. Recently, he's been played through the middle, as a lot of people were, gunning for. They wanted it to happen. And he was like little boy lost at times. For me, he is better at the moment wide on that left-hand side. And, that's where he's had his best games for United.
Yeah, he was very good today. And it's a study in comparing and contrasting, because he looks the more mature guy to me than Memphis at this stage. Tom Clare joining us here. Forever a Babe is his book, Growing Up with a Manchester United. Tom Clare's books, you can get him on Amazon. He also wrote The Men Who Were the Busby Babes, amazing story about a very talented Manchester United team. And, I mean, Tom goes on and on with amazing books. So if you have a chance to pick up Forever Babe or The Men Who Were the Busby Babes, Tom Clare's writings are some of the best. All right, so let's go back to Van Gaal.
Yeah.
Where are the fans, you know, what is it percentage-wise, fans supporting him and being patient like you, and fans who just want him out?
The bulk of the core support, and by the core support, I mean the actual match-going fans, I think the core of the fans will stand behind him. He's still just not even 18 months into his tenure yet. He did say when he arrived that it would take 3 years. There's been a lot of brick building going on. A lot of players moved out, a lot of players moved in. Now, the core support of the fans, I'm pretty sure, can see that. But the culture of the fans at Old Trafford today has changed to what it used to be. I mean, a lot of the stadium is filled with what we call day trippers. It's filled with people who are there for the experience. But the booing that was going on, I think, really did not come from the hardened Manchester United fans. And I think my own view is that although he's had criticisms, at the end of the day, he's the Manchester United manager, and our fans will stand behind him.
Tom Clare, the author of Forever a Babe and The Men Who Were the Busby Babes, joining us here on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. You and I had an interesting conversation before you came on the air today. You believe United should take the captain's armband away from Wayne Rooney, take the pressure off him, and give it to Bastian Schweinsteiger, the German.
Can you say that again, Glenn? You're breaking up again.
Just leading you into the thought you had about Wayne Rooney not being the captain, giving it to Bastian Schweinsteiger to take some pressure off Rooney.
Yeah, well, that's my own evaluation of the thing. I think Rooney, if they take the captaincy off him and free him of that burden and give it to the experienced old head, Schweinsteiger, I think United will be a better team. It's no coincidence to me that the last three games that Schweinsteiger's been suspended for, that we've lost, because we've lost that little bit in midfield. Now, Schweinsteiger is the sort of player who does a lot of work that goes unnoticed. He's a very simple player, but a very effective player. And he's a good captain, that's the thing. And that's what United need at the moment. We've lacked that driving ability. Wayne, for all, you know, his passion, and he gives 110% every game. But it's affected his form this season. And I would have a... If I was Van Gaal, I would call Rooney there, and I would say, look, we want to take that burden off of you. We want to free you of that burden. And let Schweinsteiger handle it. I mean, he's captained Bayern Munich, one of the biggest clubs in the world. He's captained his country, Germany, world champions. For me, it's a natural step to do. And just let Rooney try and regain that old spark.
Fascinating thought. He's Tom Clare. He's the author of a number of books around Manchester United. And Tom, you can get his books on Amazon.com. Tom, as always, thank you so much for coming on the show. Great insight.
My pleasure, Glenn.
Enjoyed that. And I'm apologize to Tom with some of the audio problems getting through to him here. As we go to break here, soccer fans, a moment for Bud Light. They are the official beer of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. They remind you that Houston is one of the most thriving soccer cities in America. Bud Light wants you to be a part of it, and they remind you. You can get down to the beautiful BBVA Compass Stadium, get over at Energy, and you can catch all the international soccer, the Copa Centenario coming down, the Houston Dynamo, the Houston Dash. And Bud Light reminds you that they are the perfect beer for whatever happens. A big thank you to Bud Light, the official beer of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.